Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you again for joining me this week. So, another interesting show is on hand for you. But guess what? We're going to talk a little bit of paranormal, supernatural. We're going to talk a little bit about UFOs, and then we're going to get back into what is going on around the planet. But the UFO conversation comes courtesy of our old friend in Wisconsin, Sean Ryan. He sent me a link, and I listened to this link, and it intrigued me. I've been reading a lot of comments on what was said, and we'll hear what was said in a little bit. But a lot of people are like, there's nothing coming out. Nothing is going to be said. But what was said in this audio I'm going to play for you in a little bit, really, it piqued my interest. So much so that I'm actually starting to believe that we may, the next time the government comes out and talks about the UAPs or UFOs, we may get some substantial information. So sit back, relax, open your mind, be ready for that. That'll be coming up a little bit later in the show. First, I want to talk to you about baby formula. Because right now, baby formula is getting to be almost non-existent. And people, parents, rightfully so, are starting to panic. There's not a lot of baby formula out there, so everybody's like, oh my gosh, how do I feed my child? Well, let's step back for a second. Baby formula has essentially only been around for 50, 60 years. Somehow, some way, the parents back then, they found a way to feed their growing child. The simplest simplest way you can avoid this whole baby formula thing is if you are a mother and you have a newborn and you're able to. Now, I understand there are some women who are just not able to, or maybe they've dried up, but breastfeeding. Not only do you have an unlimited source of food, but it is so much better for your child than formula. But I do get it. There are some women who cannot breastfeed, or their children, they never breastfed their children, and they never produced the milk, or the milk dried up, and it's too late to start again. And they need some type of formula. Well, this is where it comes in. Now, the doctors, you're going to see pediatricians out there saying you cannot use a home remedy or home version of formula. It's not safe. Well, I've got a recipe here. Some of you may have seen it. And this comes off of a birth certificate from October of 1960. And it gives a recipe for formula that you make. So this is essentially over 60 years ago. The recipe, and for those of you who need something, I'm not a doctor, but listen, if the hospitals were recommending this, and I get it. Back, you know, well, Tom, back then they used to cut off limbs if you got a cut, or they'd cut off limbs and not use anesthetic. I get it. But these children survived, and nothing I can see in these ingredients would be harmful to a child. Now, again, I'm not a doctor. Do your own research. But again, this is coming from a hospital. This is given to new parents on how to prepare formula made from home. It is 13 ounces of evaporated milk to 20 ounces of water. You add 2 level tablespoons of Caro syrup. You pour 4 ounces into 6 bottles. And then feed them every 3 to 4 hours or as needed. It's simple. But we have these pediatricians telling these parents, don't do that. It is very harmful to your child. Well, if we can't get formula and you can't breastfeed your child, what alternative do you have? If that child is young enough that it can eat solid foods right now, why not use this? 1960. As far as I know, here in America in 1960, there was not an epidemic of young children dying like it was in the 1800s, the 1700s. This is natural. nothing in that recipe that I just told you is going to be harmful to your child. So if you are one of these parents that are just not having any luck getting any type of baby formula, you might want to try that. And again, I have to put this on there. I have to say this. I'm not a doctor. Do your own research before you do it. I did mine. If I had a young child, I'd do it. But the bigger question on this whole topic is, why is there a shortage? I mean, everything else I can see being short, but why baby formula? It all started in February of 2022 when the FDA had Similac. Similac is probably one of the biggest brands of formula out there. Well, they had to recall and stop producing their formula out of their Sturgis, Michigan plant. That's where the Similac is produced, due to basically a salmonella contamination. So this is the middle to the end of February. So the general consensus that the media is telling us, it's because of this recall. So you have March, April, we're now into May. I never produced baby formula. I don't know how it's produced. But to me, you recalled it. You decontaminate every piece. I'll give you a week, week and a half to do that. Why is it not being produced again? Why are the shelves empty? And the bigger question is, why is the federal government shipping crates full of baby formula down to the border? And why are they shipping it to Ukraine? I don't know about anybody else, but for me, I'm getting extremely frustrated with the world first, America afterthought program that these Democrats and the Biden administration are perpetuating against us. We, as Americans, should be coming first. We should not be shipping any formula that is out there to the border for these illegal immigrants. We should not be shipping them to Ukraine. They should be in stores. They should be ready for the American people to purchase. Instead of, no, they've got pallets full just sitting on the border in a warehouse somewhere. Because, well, if this illegal immigrant comes over illegally, they're going to need something to feed their kids. Meanwhile, American citizens who pay their taxes put these politicians into office, they don't give a rat's behind about them. We are just left to suffer. When Jen Psaki was asked the question, what would you tell these citizens that are out there that are trying to find baby formula? And her response, talk to your pediatrician. So we know what the pediatricians are going to say. They're going to say, do not use at-home formula. It's not safe for your child. Again, I just gave you a recipe that was given to new parents when they left the hospital for their children in 1960. It's not like this is a recipe from the 18, 1700s where they're trying to kill the little mole men that are in your child's stomach. No, they're not telling you to bleed your child with leeches. This is 1960. I don't know what it's going to take for Americans, the portion of Americans that don't see a problem with anything going on in this country right now. What is it going to take for them to realize something's not right? I mean, let's be honest. Let's not call them Democrats. Let's not call them liberals. Let's call them communists. Let's call them socialists. That's not the Democrat Party anymore. It is the Socialist Party. This is the Communist Party of America. We are essentially in a war. We are fighting a war. It's a proxy war, but we are fighting a war. No shots have been fired as of yet. And what's going on is our government is just slow, well, not slowly anymore. I mean, one of my good friends that I talked to at work, he made a good point. He said, have you noticed how fast things are happening right now? It's because the communists know that they are going to get shellacked in October. And they are pushing everything they can through to the point that it may not even matter come November. But make no mistake, we are at war. Our government does not have any qualms anymore about showing us what they want for this country. And if you do not agree, you are expendable. You need to be silenced. Why do you think you have a ministry of truth? Why is it that there are no commercials on television counteracting the effects of the vaccine that talk about the how bad the vaccine can be to you? Everything you hear on TV is pro-vaccine. Get your vaccine. It's safe. It's effective. Where is the truth in advertising on that? It's not safe. It's not effective. Hell, I just read an article that there are some Air Force recruits or Air Force cadets that are not going to graduate if you have not had the vaccine. I thought we were done with that. I thought it has been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that this vaccine does not work. It doesn't matter if you take it or not. You're going to get sick. It doesn't matter if you take it or not. You can transmit it to someone else, and it doesn't matter if you get it or not. You're still going to die if you get it bad enough. The vaccine does nothing to lessen the symptoms. There's no scientific proof of that. I can come out and say the vaccine can make you sicker. In what? Why is that not the truth? It's not been proven. But if they can say, well, good thing you had the vaccine or it would have been 10 times worse. You don't know. Maybe because you got the vaccine, it's worse than it would have been if you didn't have the vaccine. I believe everyone, if you have not had COVID yet, guarantee you have been exposed to it numerous times. Your body has built up some type of resistance to it, a natural resistance, as opposed to a lab-created, quote-unquote, vaccine that we're being lied to about every day. And this is the war we are in. We are in a war for this country. We have the government and people like George Soros, people like Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, that are out to fundamentally change this country. Where have you heard that before? Hope and change, Obama. Yeah. It's happening right now, and it's speeding up. They're speeding up the process because they know they have to, because come November, everything comes to a stop. Now, yes, Joe Biden can do some executive orders, but that's not going to work. At that point, after November, if we still have a country to fight for, he's a lame duck president. Because it amazes me that his poll numbers are still plummeting. At this point, he is roughly 35 to 39% approval rate. That means 10 to 15% of Democrats disapprove of how this man and this administration and this party, this Communist Party, is running the country. They don't like it. So come 2024, either Trump or DeSantis, they're going to run away with this. Or should I say, in a real-world scenario, that would happen. However, who knows? I kept saying back in 2020, never underestimate the Democrats' ability to cheat. If you've seen the movie 2000 Mules, you know that Dinesh D'Souza has blown the lid off of the voter fraud, off of the stolen election of 2020. But you know what? Nothing's going to happen because the Republicans are feckless. They have no backbone. And hell, they're knee-deep in this, too. This isn't just a Communist Party problem. This is a Republican Party. This is our whole government. What needs to happen? The only way that we get, instead of 2,000 mules, we get 2,000 arrests, is if the sheriffs across this country just say, this is breaking the law. We are going after them. Now, you have people like our attorney general here in Michigan, who says, hey, if Roe versus Wade gets overturned, I'm not going to adhere to this Michigan law that was produced in 1931 that says abortion is illegal. Well, that's your job. You were put into office to follow the law. You are the attorney general. And you're telling the public, Yeah, if Roe versus Wade gets overturned, Michigan has an abortion ban because of a law put in place in 1931. I'm not going to adhere to it. It's not going to happen. Well, then you need to be removed from office. And you're going to have DAs like that. You're going to have district attorneys or attorney generals that say, well, you know, there's a lot of holes in that 2000 Mules movie story. We're not going to prosecute. Even if these sheriffs go around and do it. Because nothing's going to happen. And the Democrats know nothing is going to happen. So when I say November 2022 is going to be a bloodbath, yes, the Republicans are going to pick up a ton of seats in the House and the Senate. They're going to switch a lot of Democrat to Republican governors. But the Democrats know they can still cheat, and they can get away with it. 2020 proved it. I mean, honestly, the media has done a great job of looking at those of us who believe the election was stolen. They've done a great job turning us into crackpot conspiracy theorists. The proof is in the pudding, guys and girls. The truth is out there. You just have to look at it. I challenge any Democrat to look at 2000 Mules, to watch that movie, and not say that there was some type of voter fraud going on. It can't be done. It's been proven. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. You put that in a normal court of law, and the evidence is overwhelming. It'll never get there because this is America, and the elite get away with everything, especially Democrat or Communist Party elite. But keep in mind that we are at war. And there's a lot of growing sentiment that we've got to do something, and we've got to do it quick. And what worries me is what they're talking about, got to do something. Because it sounds like a lot of these people are talking about taking up arms. And I don't want to see that. I really don't. But we have got to take back this country. Our country. It's not their country. We put them in a power position. And this is all on us. This is all on you guys and me. And we elected these people. Now, I didn't elect Joe Biden. But apparently 81 million... people did. Okay. But we've just got to start thinking and really looking beyond party lines. Look at what is best for the country. And right now, I'm going to tell you, if you look every time a Democrat has been in office, and this, aside from Clinton, and you know, I don't like Bill Clinton, but I don't think he did that bad of a job. I think he was the last as close to center president as I think we're going to see in a long, long time. But you look, a Democrat comes in office, our paychecks suffer because we get taxed through the a-hole. Inflation goes up, prices go up, gas goes up. You get a Republican in there, somebody like Trump. Oh, my gosh, that was a great time to be an American, was when Trump was here. People didn't like him because, oh, he's mean. He tweets mean things. Well, so be it. I don't care what you tweet. Just put more money in my pocket, put more jobs on the street, and keep my family safe. That's all I want. And the communists of this country can't seem to do that. My paycheck is just getting decimated. You know, the media will tell you there's jobs on the street. Well, they created the job openings by shutting everything down and giving out free money for people who had no intention of working anyway. And then look at us on the world stage now. Why do you think Russia invaded Ukraine? Why do you think China's really flexing their muscles? Why do you think North Korea's lobbying ballistic missiles into the sea? It's because they have no respect for us now because we don't have a leader in office. We are at war. And if we don't do something about this very, very soon, this war is going to get ugly, and I don't want that. You don't want that. We got to do something. But we are at war. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back, and thanks to Sean Ryan, we're going to talk a little UFOs. The Pentagon press secretary had a press conference about a week ago, and some of the things he said were, at least to me, pretty intriguing. So we're going to hear what he said, and I'll talk about it. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crimes. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Alrighty, so as I said, our good friend Sean Ryan from Wisconsin sent me this link and told me to listen to it. And it's about, well, it's from John Kirby, the Pentagon press secretary. The Pentagon had a little briefing. The Congress is going to be discussing UFOs for the first time in, I think, 50 years. And he wanted me to hear this, and I listened to it, and some of the things that he said were pretty interesting to me. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play for you about a four-minute clip of John Kirby answering a couple questions. And I'm going to stop the clip every now and then to interject and give you my thoughts, and then I'll give you my final thoughts on the subject. But I want you to hear what Press Secretary Kirby said, because the way I'm taking it, there's more to what he's saying if you read between the lines. So listen to this.
Thanks, John. Let's change the pace a little bit. Next week, Congress is going to be holding the first hearing into UFOs in 50 years. There's going to be two people from the Pentagon testifying. Can you comment about that? And also, can you tell us any update on the Airborne Objects Identification and Management Synchronization Group, otherwise known as AOMSIG? Any update on what they're doing?
I don't have an update for you on the UAP group that you're talking about. We're still working to sufficiently staff that organization and get them into a battle rhythm, but I don't have any updates for you. And I could not hear your first question.
Can you comment about next week Congress is going to hold the first hearing in 50 years on UFOs, UAPs? I was wondering if you'd just comment on that, since two people from U.S. military are going to be testifying there.
Yeah, no, look, we're looking forward to the upcoming opportunity here to engage members of Congress on this very important matter. I'm not going to get ahead of that testimony, but we are absolutely committed to being as transparent as we can with the American people and with members of Congress about
So that is the only part of that, of this whole exchange, what you've heard and what you're going to hear, that kind of I didn't like. Because he says we're going to do everything we can to be as transparent as we can be. Now, to me, what that kind of says is, yeah, we're going to tell you what we want to tell you. But so when I first heard that, the first time I heard this, I'm like, oh, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to have a bunch of reports and a bunch of sightings that 99% of it's going to be blacked out due to national security issues. But then he starts talking about sightings that pilots are seeing and their grave concern about flight lines. Listen to this.
About our perspectives on this and what we're going to try to do to make sure we have a better process for identifying these phenomena, analyzing that information in a more proactive, coordinated way than it's been done in the past, and that we also are doing what we need to do to mitigate any safety issues as many of these phenomena have been sighted in training ranges.
Many of these objects have been sighted in training ranges. So he just admitted right there that they are seeing unidentified flying objects, unidentified aerial phenomenon, if you're in the new culture of UFOs. They have admitted they are seeing them in training ranges, and they are concerned about that. He's going to tell you why right now.
And in training environments, and so we're very much concerned about safety of flight. So we're looking forward to the opportunity to talk to Congress about this. I won't get ahead of the hearing, though.
Quickly, how concerned is the Pentagon that these might be some kind of adversary, objects from somebody like China or Russia, et cetera?
We don't have a view on that, Howard. I mean, there's been enough of the sightings in terms of training ranges that we do have, we think, legitimate safety of flight concerns here. But the department hasn't come to a conclusion about what all these phenomena are, what they represent. That's why we're putting this group together, so that we can do a better job of just collating the information. It's been sort of ad hoc in the past in terms of a pilot here or a pilot there seeing something, and the reporting procedures haven't been consistent. So what we're trying to do with this group is get together a process here. And I know process isn't very fun for you to report on, and probably not very fun for me to talk about, but that's what we need. We need a better process. That's what this group is going to do for us.
So when I heard this, and I've listened to this about 100 times, just trying to make sure that what I'm thinking on my original view of this continues to hold up, and it does. But he's talking about, when John Kirby's talking about the training grounds and the safety of flight line concerns that they have, he doesn't, and the reporter asked, how do we know these aren't Russian or Chinese craft? And he says, well, we don't have a position on that yet because we don't know, essentially. But it's the wording that he uses when he's talking about the sightings. He's not using the word aircraft. He's not using the word vehicles. He's not using the word aircraft or airplanes or craft in general. He used the word phenomena. And to me, that is huge, because it's word association. Phenomena is something extraordinary, where if they really thought it was something Russian or Chinese, he would probably, at least this is my train of thought, he would probably be thinking or using the word craft or aircraft or drone or something to that effect. But to use the word phenomena, to me, is supernatural. And again, I may be reading way too much into this, but I've been studying UFOs since 1990, essentially. And the government would always go out of its way to not even make you think UFOs exist. I mean, if you saw a UFO, you were crazy. That big disc you saw in the sky, no, that was just an aircraft, airplane. They never used words like phenomenon. They never used grave concern. They never came out and said, hey, we're seeing these over our training grounds. It gives me, I'm cautiously optimistic that we might get something more than what we've got. When I think it was January 20, I don't remember, whatever, June, I don't remember when they had their first UFO conference where they said, okay, well, yeah, we don't know what they are. Essentially, they said UFOs are real without saying UFOs are real. So, as I say, I'm cautiously optimistic about what we may or may not learn and gather from this congressional hearing. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, I have to talk about Russia. What's going on there? Things might be happening. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
We're in a room that's filled with thousands of glass figurines. Across the floor, if we break one, we'll trigger something.
Hello, and welcome to the Ohio Hauntings and Legends podcast. We will be taking you to places you have never dreamt of going. Hundreds, if not thousands, of haunted and abandoned locations. We will visit with the paranormal from your nightmares and try to understand the unexplained. Ohio alone has 88 counties within our state, and virtually each one of those counties has a story to tell. Ohio's history is bloodstained throughout its history. We will be covering more than just Ohio. We will cover the state you live in, the country. Trust me. There are thrills, chills, and we are upping the fright factor with each new stop we make. We will be traveling the world, the globe, looking for the strange, the mysterious, and the frightening. Mostly, we will find the unexplainable. Many of these episodes are genuine. Others are legend or hearsay. Believe those that you choose or believe in none. It is your choice. Just get comfortable, sit back, dim the lights, and listen.
Okay, this will be the last segment. I do have to cut this show short. We have been extremely, extremely busy at the house, and I've got a ton of stuff to do and not enough time to do it. So I do have to cut this segment short, or the show short, but I did want to talk to you about Russia. Now, we all know from what the media is telling us that Russia is struggling in Ukraine. And you know, I kind of don't doubt that. But I also don't believe 99% of what the media says. So I, you know, take it for what you want. But there is no denying that Vladimir Putin, he looks like he is sick. You've seen the video where he was, I can't remember where, what country, it was a dignitary, and you could see him visibly shaking. Well, story out of the New York Post is telling everybody that he has blood cancer, and he's obviously struggling. He looks sick. He's bloated. Some people say he's got that with Parkinson's. That's the shaking. I don't know, but the New York Post came out just a day or two ago saying that a person with insider knowledge of the Kremlin said that there is a coup in place right now to remove Putin from power. Now, if that is the case, what does that mean? Who would replace Putin, and are they former KGB? Do they want to restore Russia to her former glory, or are they completely 180 of Russia? Well, there's three people in line, and in my opinion, the number one person to replace him would be Mikhail Mishustin. Mishustin is the current prime minister of Russia. He took office just before the COVID-19 pandemic, shortly after Dmitry Medvedev, the former Russian president, who then took office as prime minister, resigned. If Putin were to suddenly die or become incapacitated or taken out with a coup, theoretically, Mr. Mishustin would take over. He was the former director of the Federal Taxation Service in Russia, which is basically the IRS, and he got to know Putin by playing in a night hockey league with him. So from what I understand, he is essentially a Russian or a Putin clone. He kind of thinks like Putin. He essentially, nothing would change with him in there. But now if Putin is taken out by a coup, I think all bets are off. I think at this point, we saw near the end of the 20th century when Russia had their coup that Boris Yeltsin, his successor, didn't take office. So I think all bets are off. I mean, Dmitry Medvedev, the former president of Russia, he could theoretically take over. But all eyes right now are on Putin. He's just, first off, he's losing a lot of popularity and a lot of credibility with the way the Russian military has performed in Ukraine. But his health it doesn't look good for him. He's obviously very sick and he's obviously not doing well. I mean, it's night and day, but, you know, the Russian media is saying it's all propaganda. Take it as you want. But apparently there is a coup in the beginning stages, or actually starting right now, that is designed to remove Putin from power. Stay tuned and see what happens. Regardless, interesting times that are happening in Russia. It's like 1988, 1990 all over again. Interesting times. So that'll be the show this week. I do apologize. I do have to cut it short. Just no time to do anything. My son graduated. We've got open houses left and right. I got to get the pool open. We got to get ready for camping trips. It's just, we're getting ready for our neighborhood garage sale. It's just crazy. It's just everyday life is getting in the way of doing what I love to do, and that's sit behind this mic and talk to you. But thank you for listening. I truly appreciate it. Remember, 76patriot.net. If you love this country, if you served in the military and you want everyone to know, go to 76patriot.net, buy a flag, buy a hat. They're constantly adding product in there. And tell them you're there because the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Support that business. They are a great group of people, and they love this country, just like you love this country. So let's support them. 76patriot.net. Again, thanks for listening to the show. I'll be back next week talking to you about who knows what. We'll see what the week has to offer. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll talk to you next week. I'm so sorry. Say one.